We're doing Tehillim, we're up to the 31st chapter, and tonight's learning is dedicated to Mrs. Mali by her husband and her son, who wish her well, and wish she was here. We're up to the 31st chapter, Pasuk Aleph, and as usual, we're going to read the Pasuk with the tune, and then explain. For those of you who are new here, this is the ancient Halabi tune for reading Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyov. Pasuk Aleph. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid. To the conductor, the following song of praise was composed by David. Becha Adonai chasiti aleivosh aleolam betzidkatecha faleteini. David HaMelech says, I have faith in you. Becha Hashem chasiti. I take coverage in you, Hashem, al evosha leolam, and therefore I know I'm never going to be shamed, even if I don't have merits. Betzidkatecha faleteini, I know you will save me out of your righteousness, because you are righteous and you want what's good in the world. So Hashem, even if I don't merit, save me for your sake, for the sake of your righteousness. Hatei elai Oznecha Meira Hatzileini. Hashem, please turn to me your ear, so to speak. David HaMelech says, please listen to my prayer. Meira Hatzileini, and be quick to save me. The challenges in life are very often the time that things take. A person wants to finish his gear process. How long is it going to take? Is he ever going to finish? A person wants to get married. Will he ever get married? A person wants to have children. Will he ever have children? The suspense of life, not knowing when the test is going to be over, that's one of the major challenges in life. If Avraham Avinu would know that at the end everything is going to turn out all right, he'll make it off the mountaintop with Yitzchak, his son, wouldn't be a challenge. If Yaakov would have known for the 22 years that he was missing Yosef, that in the end he'd have Yosef back, 22 years would have looked different. One of the major challenges in life is that we do not know how the story is going to end. So David asks Hashem, not only Hatzileini, Hashem, please save me. David asks, Mehira Hatzileini, Hashem, please save me quickly. Don't keep me in suspense. Heyeli Letzur Ma'oz Leveit Metzudot Lehoshieini. David HaMelech says, Hashem, please, you be my rock, Bet Metzudot, so to speak, my house of rock, my place that I can rely on. Lehoshieini, so that you're my salvation. Throughout our lives, we have places that we turn to when things go bad. When a child is born, he cries. He looks for the parents. The child grows, he calls Ima. He grows older, he might call Abba. He grows a little older, so he starts looking at himself. He should stand up to life's challenges. When things overcome him, he looks to his friends, he looks to his big brother, and he might again look to his father and mother. One of the things we have to train ourselves, one of the things we have to learn from David HaMelech, is to look up. That when things go bad, to look up. Like David HaMelech says, Ke'ayal ta'arog al afikei maim. Just like the ayal, when it's looking for waters and it can't find waters, it lifts its head to the heavens. So do we, when we're faced with challenges, we have to learn from David HaMelech that the place to turn to is to turn our eyes up to heaven. People very often come and say, you know, I have this challenge, I have that challenge. And I ask them, have you prayed? And they look at me and say, well, what are you talking to me before you spoke to God? You know, talk to the boss. We could think together, but first, turn to Hashem. And you know, people are, for some reason, are hesitant to apply this in their daily lives. A guy comes to me and says, you know, I'm getting no shidduchim, I want to get married. I ask him, have you prayed? He says, I've called shadchanim. I say, okay, wait. You know, ishtadlus is important. We've often discussed the importance to try. We have to do our own. But our lives have to be led in a fashion where God is a part of our life. Three times a day we talk to Him, so let's share with Him what's bothering us. David HaMelech says, Hashem, I turn to You. You are Bet Mitzudot Lehoshieni. You're the house of refuge I turn to when I need salvation. Kisali umtsudati ata. Because Hashem, You are my Selah. Selah is a massive rock, a boulder. Umtsudati, You're my fortification. Ulman shimcha tancheini utna leini. And for the sake of Your name indicates mercy, Your Shem Shvarachamim. For the sake of Your name, even if I don't have merits, tancheini, Hashem, guide me. Very often, the question of whether we will be successful or not is a question of which path we'll take in life. And people think this is a question only once in life, and in truth, it's a question that repeats itself over and over again. What will we stress in life? What will our attitudes be? Life is a series of challenges, and Torah teaches us to stand up to those challenges. We live in a generation that's scared of life. A generation where people want easy outs. They're dating a girl and they don't know if to marry her, so they come to a rabbi with the numbers and they say, you decide. Life is about making decisions. You could take counsel with people, you could hear what they have to say, but life is about your decisions. What type of life you're going to lead. We don't control life. We don't control the challenges we'll have, but we do control how we will react to them. And in that reaction, sometimes we have many paths to take. And the challenge is to know which one is the right path. And the challenge is to stick to the right path. David HaMelech turns to Hashem and says, Tancheini, guide me. I know I have to take the right path, but show me which is the path. Utenaleini, You lead me, lead the way. I'll go, but show me how. Totzieni mereshet zu tamenuli ki ata mauzi. Hashem, take me out of this reshet, this trap, this net, tamnuli, that they hid so that I fall, so that they'll be able to entrap me. Ki ata mauzi, for You are my strength. David the Melech had many people trying to bring him down, and he turned to Hashem and said, "Help me get out of it." We have to remember that when a person leads a pious life, that doesn't mean that people are going to be nice to him. You choose to lead a religious life, could be people will spit at you. Yes. You know, this fairy tale of they lived happily ever after is good in the fairy tales. That's not what happens here. Very often people come back to Machon Meir and they say, you know, I did gear. I didn't know how hard it would be. That's true. You didn't know, right? You didn't know. You can't know. You know, I did tshuva, but I didn't know how hard it would be. Right? You didn't know. We try to help you, try to give you tools, but the hardships start when you leave Machon Meir, living up to what you've learned at Machon Meir. It's not easy. I always tell guys when they finish the gear process, be ready for a dunk. And they say, what do you mean? I say, because the nature of a person is that once he's accomplished, he's made it to Giyu, the next few months or the next year is going to be a year where the first thing he wants to do is let go. I've made it, now I'm Jewish, you know, I keep Shabbat more, I keep Shabbat less. It's not that way. It's the exact opposite. You got to work to go up, but be prepared. It's normal to go down. Life is about ups and downs. David HaMelech has gone in God's ways, and what's he gotten for it? He's been chased. They try to kill him, his own father-in-law, the king. They say he's a traitor. Yeah, everything bad that we can imagine happens to him. And that's the way God runs the world often. Often, when we make the right choice, that's when things get tougher. It's as though God says, do you really mean it? How many guys wanted to do gear and suddenly it didn't work? Just ask the guys who were here how long it took and all the trials and tribulations. And people are surprised. People are surprised when if they choose to keep Shabbat, how come they're making less money? God didn't promise you'd make more money if you keep Shabbat. You know, you're losing one day out of seven at least. There's a price to pay. We say in the long run, the Torah lifestyle is the lifestyle that you'll enjoy. It's long term. In the short term, what you'll see is the price it costs. Torah educates us for long term pleasures. The challenge of life is, will I go for short term or long term? David HaMelech is a prime example of someone who took the right path and paid a hefty price for it. Everyone turned against him. So David turns to Hashem and says, help me. People are laying traps for me, and you are my strength. Beyadecha afkid ruchi, padita oti Adonai el emet. I always place my soul in your responsibility because you're the one that always saves me. We have to know, on the one hand, David HaMelech did every form of ishtadlut to live. When he heard his life was in danger, he ran. When he had to fight, he fought. When he had to hide, he hid. He did whatever he could to save his life. But he taught us the balance, that on the one hand, we have a responsibility to do the maximum. On the other hand, we have to know that we don't control the show. We don't control the outcome. We're not responsible for the outcome. I had a friend who was going to the army, and I asked him, how do you leave your wife and kid and go to the army? Are you going to be whole with yourself if you're maimed or something else happens when you go to the army? So he said to me, I know I have to do my responsibility. So I do my ishtadlut, I prepare, I do everything I have to do, I daven, and after I've done everything I have to do, the one who's responsible is God, not me. I'm responsible to do my maximum, but I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm responsible for the ishtadlut. I'm responsible for everything up to the outcome. I cannot control the outcome, so I can't be responsible for that. Torah is not about the outcome. Notice we have a mitzvah with Amalek. What's the mitzvah?
Fight them off.
Milchama, to fight a war. Ultimately you'll wipe them out, but your responsibility isn't to finish the job. We can't be responsible to finish the task. We're responsible to try. Look at the mitzvah of Fru Urvu. A man has a mitzvah to have a son and a daughter that will keep Torah. A person who has children that unfortunately don't keep Torah, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Fru Urvu. So we have a mitzvah to have a son and a daughter that keep Torah. Do I have control whether I'll have children or not? I have no control. A person can try. He can try to look for a wife. Does he have control whether he'll find the right one? After he's found her, does he have control whether they'll merit to have kids? After he's had kids, does he have control whether they'll lead a Torah lifestyle? We don't control it. We can't control our kids. We can't control so many aspects of this mitzvah. And yet, the Torah gives us a mitzvah. So the mitzvah is in the hishtadlut, in the attempt to perform the mitzvah. The outcome, that's not our responsibility. David HaMelech says, "Biyadcha afkiduchi, I give my soul in your hands, God." What does that mean? He didn't try to live? No, we know if there's one person who did everything, fought tooth and nail to live and not to be caught, it's David. He was a warrior. And yet he says at the end of the day, "Biyadcha afkiduchi, I put my soul in your hands because I'm not responsible for the outcome." Yes, sir?
So number one, it's called halacha for that reason. It's the going.
Oh, yefeh, yefeh.
Seven mouths doesn't come up as Yaakov, correct? There's nobody before Yaakov, but correct?
I didn't follow what you were saying.
There's nobody before Yaakov who this is a chiddush of Yaakov Avinu, correct?
That what?
Pray, give presents, prepare for war.
Well, this balance, do we find it before Yaakov Avinu? I think we find it by Avraham Avinu, no? On the one hand, he's the balance specifically of praying and presence and that, not, but it's really just one way of doing the balance between Hishtadlut and Emunah Bashem. You know, Avraham Avinu, he plays it out differently.
Avram does one or the other.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
No, but Yaakov does all three, and Avraham.
I never thought of it that way. I think that it's a balance that all great people had in their lives. I think Avraham Avinu also had it. I'm trying to think if there's a commentary that says it explicitly about Avraham or Yitzchak. I don't remember.
The 318 soldier, Eliezer goes to war. There's no mention of davening. Is there?
There's no mention of davening.
Or of any.
I don't remember.
Policy making or like.
I don't remember. I don't remember if the Midrashim say over there that
they done. I thought this was like one of the reasons why we're B'nai Yisrael rather than.
I hear. I have to look. I don't know. I hear. I don't know.
Is there anything about David HaMelech in this that can't be traced back to Yaakov Avinu?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything specific to David. I don't know. These are general. This is Torah philosophy. I mean, this is the way the Torah wants us to lead our lives. I don't know. To break down, this is specifically David's chidush. I don't know. Saneiti השומרים הבלי שב ואני אל אדוני בטחתי. David says, I hate those that are always waiting for their idols to save them. השומרים over here is that anticipate. השומרים הבלי שב, the fools, the false passing idols. ואני אל השם בטחתי, and my faith is in השם. אגילה I rejoice, I express my happiness with your kindness. Asher ra'ita et onyi, yadata b'tzarot nafshi. You took note of my affliction, you know my sorrows, the things that are afflicting me. Ve'lo yisgartani b'yad oyev, and you didn't give me over into the hands of the enemy. But rather, you let me stand in a territory where there was space. Choneini Adonai, ki tzar li. Hashem, please have compassion over me, because now I'm in a dire state. Ashesha v'chas eini nafshi uvitni, because I'm suffering so much. So my eyes are rotting. Ashisha is like the word ash. Ash is a moth, causes it. It destroys things. So David HaMelech says, Ashisha v'chas eini, my eye, so to speak, has rotted because I'm having so much affliction. Nafshi uvitni, so too my soul, my stomach, so to speak. I lost my appetite. Everything is rotting within me. I'm losing life because I'm enveloped with such dangers and things that pressure me so. So he says, Hashem, choneini, please, even if I don't deserve it, choneini, give me a free gift. Have mercy over me. I'm in a tight spot. This is an important point, that we could always turn to Hashem. People sometimes say, but I don't deserve it. So what? Talk. I once got a ticket. I was driving with tires that were bald. I didn't realize it. A cop pulled me over. He looks at me and says, how much did you have to drink? I said, I didn't drink anything. What do you mean? He says, then why are you swerving in the road? I said, I hadn't realized I was swerving. What do you mean? He looks at my tires. He says, with tires like that, you can't go a straight line if you wanted to. He gives me a ticket and he says, when you go to court, tell the judge that I told you that if you change your tires, he should let you go the ticket. You just have to change your tires. Okay. So we'll skip the end of the story.
Is this original or the States?
No, in the States. I don't have a license here. I get to court and there are a few people before me. So this guy was caught speeding. So the judge looks at the guy and says, why were you speeding? So the guy says, what can I say? My girlfriend got upset at me and she said, I better be there in 10 minutes flat. And the judge says, look, I can't let you off just because your girlfriend got upset at you. You know how you were speeding. But make some kind of claim. Say you hadn't realized the speed limit or you won't do it again. Say something good for yourself. I'll have to take something off your ticket. So the guy said something. And I was standing there looking at this kind judge. And I was thinking to myself, what a lesson there is in that. He's telling the guy, say something. At least say you won't do it in the future. Say something. I'll take something off your ticket. But say something good about yourself. Say something positive. David HaMelech turns to Hashem and he says, Choneini Hashem. He says, Hashem, you know, maybe I don't deserve it. But please, give it to me even if I don't deserve it. Kitzali, if not because I deserve it, at least take note of how much I'm suffering. That's a reason you should let me go? Yeah, even that's a reason you should let me go. People sometimes are hesitant to turn to God because they say, I know the truth, I deserve it. That's not a reason to suffer. Hashem is always open. Hashem is better than that kind judge. Hashem says, just give me reason to make it good for you. Come with a new claim. Say something for yourself. 3 times a day we talk to Hashem. We have to think of sharing with Hashem what's bothering us, even the smaller things. And we have to think how to approach it. Hashem, at the end of the day, Hashem wants what's good for us more than we want it for ourselves. We have to think how to present it. And the fact that we can't think of anything meritorious to say about ourselves, that's not a reason not to say something. Think of that guy. He had no excuse. He said to the judge, what can I say? The judge said, say something. No, say something. I can't go on record just letting you off because your girlfriend pressured you, but I could let you off if you say something sincere. The guy said something. He took something off his ticket. I can't guarantee you'll have such a nice judge. I mean, most judges are not like that. But the lesson is true. David HaMelech says to Hashem, Choneni, give it to me as a free gift. Even if I don't deserve it, but I'm suffering. Ki chalu ve'yagon chayai ushnotai ba'anacha. David says, you know, my days have passed in suffering, in weeping, in sighing. Kashal ba'avoni chochi. And my strength is stumbling, and I know it's my fault. I've done sins, and that's why I'm weaker. And my bones have rotted. So David on the one hand recognizes, I'm not perfect, God. I know I haven't lived up to my end of the deal. I know I'm not doing things as good as I should. And nonetheless, I ask Hashem, help me. Mikol tzorerai hayiti cherpa velishchenai me'od ufachad limyudai. David HaMelech says, I was suffering so much that anyone who looked at me laughed at me. Look at David, he's on the run again. I spend my life on the run. First my father-in-law wants to kill me, then my children want to kill me. I'm spending my life being mocked. People look at me and say, look at what he sinned, look at God's paying him back. Mikol tzorerai, from all the afflictions, all those who try to afflict me, hayiti cherpa, I was shamed by everyone. Velishchenai, and those who knew how much I was being afflicted. My neighbors, me'od, I was even more shamed. They looked down at me more than anyone else. Ufachad limyudai. When people see how much I'm suffering, people are scared. Whoever knows, they say, oh, I hope I don't end up like him. Ro'ai bachutz. Whoever sees me outside, nadidumi mani, goes away from me. Whenever you see someone who's suffering, the tendency of people is to distance themselves. It's a very cruel tendency human beings have. A guy throws up, everyone wants to turn away. No one wants to go over and say, do you need a hand?
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Right. No one wants to say that. And it's not just because of the smell. We have a tendency that when we see someone suffer, we don't want to see him suffer. We want to turn away. We want to be distant from him. David HaMelech says, Ro'ai b'chutz nadidu mimeni. Anyone who saw me outside ran away from me. Now, one understanding here is that this is talking about the times that David was on the run and everyone wanted to stay away from him. People didn't want to have anything to do with David lest they be called in cahoots with him. They didn't want the king to say that they're part of the rebellion too. Nishkachti kemet milev. I was forgotten just like the deceased, just like the dead are forgotten from the heart. Hayiti kichli oved. And I was like a vessel that when it's lost, no one bothers looking for it, no one remembers it. Kishamati dibat rabim magol misaviv. I hear people speaking bad all around me, they scare me. I know they're all gathering and they're thinking how to take me down. Lakachat nafshi zamamu. and I know they're all thinking how to kill me. David the Melech says, I'm living a life of the hunted. And I hear all around me people are talking how ultimately they're going to take me down. And that's why everyone thinks it's only a matter of time that I'm going to be dead. Because Shaul wants me dead, the Philistines want me dead, and everyone's whispering, maybe I'll be the one to get the bounty. Maybe I'll be the one that can give Shaul the news where David is, and then I'll get rewards from the king. So wherever I go, I hear people talking all around. And that's why people think it's only a matter of time till I'm dead. Vani, but I don't give up, David HaMelech says. Alecha vatachti Adonai, amarti Elohai ata. My faith is in you. I know I can't rely on anyone. Even my friends could turn on me. But my faith is in you, Hashem. And I say, you're my God. Beyadecha itotai. Hatzileini miyad oyevai umerodefai. David HaMelech says, all the different periods that pass on me, I know that you control them. And if we could only remember these two words, beyadecha itotai, that's a motto in life. Who controls whether we'll have a good time or a bad time? Hashem. You guys, I told you the story why Shehakol is my favorite blessing. Remember the story? In a nutshell, I was on a date and I said something to a girl. She thought that I meant to insult her. She misunderstood what I said completely. But she decided that was reason enough to unleash on me every nasty comment you could imagine. And she spent 5 minutes telling me what a horrible person I was. After you've dated someone for like 5 or 10 dates and they tell you that, it doesn't feel too good. So I'm standing there and I have nothing to say. And then I take out a cup of water and I make a shehakol near bedvaro and I drink and I smile. So she looks at me and says, what are you smiling at? And I said, I just made a blessing, shehakol niyeh bedvaro. It just reminded me, shehakol, everything in the world, niyeh bedvaro, comes because he said so. And I was thinking to myself, even the fact that I have to sit here and hear you say that, I guess he decided that, shehakol niyeh bedvaro, everything is he caused. David HaMelech says, biyadechai totai, you control the times I go through. If we would only remember that Hashem controls it. 2 years ago, when the Merkaz Rav massacre happened. 2 years ago, it's 2 years. Wow.
This
now, it's going to be 2 years, right? So we had a class after that, and we discussed that one of the most challenging aspects of tragedy is the feeling that someone else had control. The feeling that for those moments the gunman decided who would live and who would die. That feeling, the feeling that in those moments he decided who he'd kill, that feeling destroys people. It's that that really bothers us. If we would only remember, biyadecha itotai, Hashem, you define my times. It's in your hands. Megalgelin choval yedei chayav. Hashem causes bad things to happen through evil people. But at the end of the day, biyadecha itotai, you control my times. If a person would only remember that, then whatever happens in life, he'd have an easier time dealing with. And that's maybe the message of this chapter. David HaMelech describes how everyone's turned against him. And it's only a matter of time till he's a dead man. Everyone's talking like it's over. And he has every reason to believe that he's not going to make it out of here unless God decides to seat it that he makes it out of here. But al pi derech hateva, going with the ways of nature, the odds are very, very badly stacked against him. But the theme of the chapter is, but you run the world, Hashem. And even though I might not deserve it, I turn to you and I have faith in you and I know you're going to decide what's going to happen. Biyadechai totai, my times are in your hand. You decide whether I'll have good times or bad times. Hatzileni miyado yevai, so Hashem, please save me from my enemies umeirodefai and from those that chase me. Ha'ira fanecha alavdecha hoshieni vechasdecha. Hashem, please look at me warmly. Ha'ira einai ha'arat panim is when you look at someone with a warm countenance. Ha'ira fanecha alavdecha, so look at me warmly. Hoshieni v'chasdecha. He's using a humanistic terms, but he means in God's way, Hashem should save him out of His kindness. Adonai aleivosha ki keraticha yevoshu reshaim yidemu lishol. Hashem aleivosha. Don't let me be embarrassed, because at the end of the day, my faith is in You. So it's only fitting that I should not be embarrassed. Ki kiraticha, for I've called You. My faith is in You. Yevoshu reshaim, the ones who should be shamed are those who are wicked. Yidemu, let them be cut off, lishol, to perdition, to the grave. Te'alam nasif te'shaker. Let the lips that speak deceit, that speak falsehood, let them be silenced. Hadoverot al tzadik atak begava vavuz. Those wicked who speak about the righteous in a powerful way, begava, out of haughtiness, vavuz, and in mockery, they mock those that are righteous. Hashem, let those lips be silenced. But I, there's no reason I should be silenced. There's no reason I should be shamed, because I have faith in You. Who's David saying this to? To Hashem or to himself? I sometimes think we have to say this to ourselves. Sometimes a person is faced with a situation where everyone's looking down at him. Everyone's going to the movies on Shabbos, and they look at him and say, "You're not coming? Come, you walk alongside the car. We'll pay your fare." And he says, no, it's Shabbos. I'm not going to the movies. And they say, but you used to like the movies. You were once normal. Sometimes a person has to tell himself, I'm doing what's right. Hashem aleivosha. I shouldn't be embarrassed. Ki kirativa, because I'm calling in Your name. They should be embarrassed. I'm doing what's right. But when we're outnumbered, it's not always easy to say that. So David HaMelech says it, and I always wondered, was he saying it to God or to himself? David HaMelech says, Hashem, see to it that I end up okay, and then I won't be shamed. Yeah.
Indicative book makes more sense.
I don't know. I'm not sure there's a different meaning in Diktuk. Alevosha, I shouldn't be shamed. I'm not sure which way. I'm not sure Diktuk-wise that it would be this way or another. The Mefarshim all seem to learn that being that I have faith in You, I shouldn't be shamed. So I guess that's more correct, Diktuk-wise. The Mefarshim, Rashi, the Radak, the Rishonim all seem to learn that David was using this as a claim why God should accept his prayer. He was saying, being that I have faith in You, it's only fitting I shouldn't be shamed. That You shouldn't let me down, so to speak. I'm suggesting an alternate understanding that we could apply to ourselves. That a person should say to himself, I have no reason to be embarrassed. But what? The first one was his claim to God. God, accept my prayer, and I shouldn't be shamed because I had faith in You. What I'm suggesting is that maybe sometimes a person says that to himself, not as a claim to God, but he tells himself, I shouldn't be embarrassed. I'm doing what's right. Marav tuvecha asher tzafanta lirayecha. David HaMelech says, I know that You have such great good waiting for those that have awe of you. Pa'alta lachosim b'ach. You made this great good in the world to come for those that take coverage in You. Remember, David began the chapter by saying, I take coverage in You, Hashem. So he's saying, I know there's good waiting for you, waiting for me. Neged b'nei Adam. And those, when they're faced with other men, they take a choice and take coverage in You. They don't take faith in other people, but rather their faith is in You. Neged b'nei Adam. Opposite the choice of choosing mankind, they choose to be chosim bach, to take coverage in You. Those people, You have great good stored for them. Tastirehem b'seiter panecha meruchseish. David HaMelech says, for You, hide them b'seiter panecha, with coverage that You give them, meruchseish, from the haughtiness of men. Titzpenem b'sukah meriv leshonot. And Hashem, you hide them, so to speak, in your sukkah, in your coverage, from the arguments of the tongue that other people argue with them. Baruch Adonai, ki hifli chasdo li be'ir matzor. David HaMelech concludes the chapter saying, blessed is Hashem, that He did this kindness with me as well, this extraordinary kindness, to strengthen me as though I was in this city of refuge. And he says, this is chasdo, this is God's kindness, even if I don't merit it. Vani amalti v'chofzi. And I, when I was running from Saul, I said, Nigrazti mineged einecha. I said to myself, must be, so to speak, I've been cut off from before God. Maybe God's decided to let me go, to be taken down. When I was on the run and I didn't see a way I'd make it alive, I had points in my life when I thought you cut me off. You weren't looking at me. You weren't interested. And that's the worst feeling. That's maybe the most common question that people ask when they have difficulties in life. Does God care? Maybe this is a punishment. Rav Elisha Vishlitsky once told me, he said, people have to know to look at something as an etgar and not as tagar. Tagar is, so to speak, like punishment from above. Etgar is a challenge from above. Very often when we're faced with difficulties, we think, God wants to finish me off. No, a person has to know, God's given him a challenge. Doesn't mean God wants to finish him off. God's with him and God wants him to succeed. Achen. Yes, sir.
Should we think he's referring to when toward the middle of Shmuel's bet, where his son dies, like his first one?
The Mefarshim seem to understand that it's talking about Shaul. That's our Rashi and the
Shaul.
Yeah.
Are you chasing him?
Yeah. That's how the Mefarshim seem to learn.
Was he really that nervous?
Oh yeah. I mean, he left, he had 3 days where he hadn't eaten. He was on the verge of starving to death.
For 3 days?
Isn't that what Chazal say? That the lechem afanim, why he ate the holy bread? That he was, that's also the math. If you do the math, 2 days. 2 days for sure. The question is how long it took him to get from the rocks to Achimelech. Maybe it was 2 days. But it was close to 3 days. It was, maybe it even says, I don't remember. Sure. We say in Hallel every month, we say, Vani amati bechofzi kol adam kozev. When I was on the run, I said, everyone's liars. Chazal say that David HaMelech said, even Shmuel that promised me I'd be a king, even he's a liar. He was a good prophet about everything but this. David HaMelech was standing on top of the mountain. David and his men had the mountain surrounded and they were on their way up. David looked down. He saw in every direction there were men coming for him.
Did Shmuel and his men surrounded?
What?
Did you say David was surrounded by
Shaul and his men?
Okay. So.
David was surrounded by Shaul and his men and he said it's over. And then the truth is it should have been over then. Hashem made a miracle. Suddenly... Huh? No. What it says in the Navi is that Hashem sent a malach to come and tell Shaul that the Plishtim are attacking on the other side, and Shaul was faced with a question. Will he finish David off or go and save the Jews that were in danger from the Philistine attack? And Shaul opted to save the Jewish people. So Shaul was a big tzaddik. Shaul also knew that if he wanted to, it would be over then. It would just take another day or two till he finally caught David. But they had the mountain surrounded. What?
That was a different part.
Okay. So David says, when I was on the run, I thought you cut me off. Achen, shamata kol tachanunai b'shavei elecha. But you did hear my prayers when I called out to you. Evu et Adonai kol chasidav. And so David HaMelech says, therefore I call out to all of God's pious, that they should love Hashem, emunim notzer Adonai umshalem al yeter osei gava, because God pays back honestly God pays back people for their good deeds, and Hashem also pays back the people who were haughty. And David concludes and says, Chizku v'yametz levavchem kol amyachalim ladonai. You who have hope, your hope is in Hashem, you be strong. And just like you saw, I thought it was all over, and I made it out in the end, Hashem helped me. Chizku, strengthen yourselves. V'yametz levavchem, and let your hearts be strong. Kol amyachalim Hashem, all those who hope to Hashem. So, they should be strong, and Hashem should strengthen them as well. So we learned tonight the 31st chapter. We'll quickly review what we saw. The chapter began. David HaMelech composed the song saying how he has faith in Hashem, and Hashem should save him out of his righteousness. Hashem should be quick, and we stressed the point of being quick to save Hashem, to save David, and David has faith in Hashem. David describes how everyone tries to take him down, and he has faith in Hashem. He can't stand those that have faith in idols. He has faith in Hashem, and therefore he knows he will rejoice when Hashem saves him. Just as in the past, Hashem didn't give him in the hands of the enemy, so too he's asking Hashem now, even if I don't deserve it, look at how I'm suffering, look at how I've suffered all these years. Everyone's shamed me, I'm already being forgotten like the dead. Everyone thinks it's only a matter of time till it's over. But I'm not that way. I have faith in you, Hashem. I say, you are my God. You control the times, whether things will be good or not. And therefore, Hashem, look at me warmly. Don't let me be shamed. Let those who are wicked be shamed. Let those who are proud, let those who lie, let them be silenced. But I will continue praising you, how much good you save for those who go in your ways. Hashem, you protect those who go in your ways. You're better than any fortified city. When I was on the run, I thought you decided to cut me off, but you did accept my prayer. And so, Hashem, as you saved me in the past, please save me again. And all those who love Hashem, come, all his righteous ones, all his pious ones should love him. They should recognize how Hashem pays everyone back. Be strong and continue your hope in Hashem. On this?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I have two questions. One is, in general, for some time, if we come to understand that in essence tefillah, member of Alba, and many people think, Jewish thinkers, rabbis say, that in essence what we're doing is we're elevating ourselves through turning to Hashem. That's the mechanism of tefillah. It's not Hashem Shalom that you're changing God's will. That is a very problematic issue, to actually say that we're changing God's will. What's the importance? Yeah, that you discussed earlier, exactly about the wording towards Hashem and different kinds of attempts and suggestions of how to speak to Hashem. Like, perhaps that we should. You understand my question? How? If in essence we're elevating ourselves, what's the purpose of these different formats as if to try to persuade him to listen?
I need to think about it. Meaning, I was saying it out of a specific understanding. I don't know. Okay, I'll give you a partial answer, but I would want to think about it some more. The Meiri discusses different things that seem to be sgulot in Chazal for tefillah. Chazal say, go to your rabbi and pray. Go to shul. And the Meiri, going in line with the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the Meiri, and this is a little bit the schools of thought you're describing, the Meiri describes that sometimes the point is really about the person himself. What impact this will have on the person. It's not always about the external. The question is how far you take that. Meaning, what about Yom Kippur? Ki v'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem. Hashem seems to say this day has special merit. We're accustomed to the understanding that the place has an impact, the time has an impact, the person has an impact, the people he's around has an impact. Why that's what we're accustomed to. It's not necessarily contradicting. I'm saying the question is how far you take it. But if we go with that understanding, then we might also say that when a person speaks like David HaMelech was speaking in different aspects, they are really ways of developing within the person the understanding that Hashem controls everything, that Hashem is really good, that Hashem really wants the good of us. If you want to work with that understanding that prayer is all about where am I vis-a-vis God, not where is God, but where am I, so then we could also say that even these expressions have certain impacts. It's not that I've perfected other aspects of myself, but maybe I've perfected or I've raised my recognition of God's controlling the world, of God's being the one to decide what's going to happen in the world. And if you think about it deeply, if you go with this concept, you could end up bridging between Rav Yosef Elbow, the Rambam, and the Kabbalists, and the Nefesh HaChayim, that discusses the concept of the importance of the recognition that Hashem is running everything. If the Rambam also agrees to that, and we say he does, and if that might be part of Tefillah, then you've already come very, very close to the Nefesh HaChayim in Tefillah, and the Nefesh HaChayim about the recognition of Hashem running everything. The higher you are, the more this goes very well with the Rambam about Hashgacha Pratit going hand in hand with what level you're on, what Hashgacha you're going to get. I'm saying the second you open that that understanding, you're already bridging between the two understandings. But that's a possible thought. There's I'm giving you an answer off the cuff. I never thought about it. I have to think about it.
According to that,
I'm saying, but why? So look now. Look now.
Seem to go beyond what it really does to me. So is it perhaps the very essence that
we always word it
as if God in conversation, you're elevating. Since you're putting more bitachon in it, you're having more bitachon.
I think so. I think that's the way they would say it, but that's a first thought. I reserve the right to think some more. Okay. Say that.
Second question.